Dirt, and Sprague.
Naylor popped out the first pitch he saw. Hits that one fair and down the line, and it kicks off the wall. Two more coming home. A Rosarena scores, Canzone scores, Naylor drives in two, and just like that, it is 7-0 Mariners.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
I build it, dribbling at Thorhaltson, cuts it back, gets it back to DaCosta outside the top of the box, near side of the field. DaCosta will shoot from distance! David DaCosta hasn't done much, but he scored a goal to put the Timbers out in front by two in the 68th minute.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
A delightful Thursday morning. It's great to be in today. Absolutely fired up.
Dodged a bullet. I damn near grabbed that hat on the way out of the door today.
Oh,
It was between this one, that one. I'm reaching. I grabbed the duck hat.
My hair won't go right down, there. So I was like, okay, I'm going to grab this hat. And then I went, you know, if he comes in with this hat.
Double timbers.
We're going to have bad hair on the YouTube.
We're feeling good today, man.
3-1 win,
hey.
Man.
Great night at the park.
Look
last
at that.
Night.
Dude, I had it on, and I made my my brother and sister I came over and I had it on in the background and
olé,
my God,
olé,
I want to go to Providence.
Olé,
little concerned olé, about the goal they gave olé, up at the end of the first half.
Olé. Oh yeah, 3-1 is not good enough.
3-1.
Come
well,
on,
that
Swigard.
Tied it at one.
Hey, but what was the final?
I understand that.
What was the final?
You can't get worried in a
come
first
on.
Half.
Get out of here. Get out of here. All
there's
right.
Two halves to a match.
We are red hot and rolling right now.
All three goals from the Timbers were outstanding goals. No flukes whatsoever.
The first goal was amazing.
Velda's was a shot.
Yeah.
DaCosta's, the final goal was a shot.
I missed the final goal.
I did too.
Yeah, he was outside of the penalty areas, about 20 yards out. On the left side going into Timbers Army and sent it out, curled it upper right corner, far post. Keeper was just standing there.
Bent it like Beckham.
That's right.
Oh, yes. And then the second goal, the second goal was gorgeous in the setup. And that was some tic-tac-toe passing action.
Ooh, I love a good tic-tac-toe.
Can I ask you guys both a question?
Fire away.
Do you like gifts?
Who doesn't love a gift?
Who doesn't love a gift?
Do you love travel gifts?
Travel gifts.
Oh, like getting something on vacation that you bring back for somebody?
Yeah.
That kind of gift?
Well, you're getting the gift from somebody coming back from vacation.
That doesn't have to be huge. Like the tricky part about that is, okay, how do you limit? Like when we went over to Europe, we didn't have a lot of room.
Anything.
Yeah, I got nothing out of your European vacation.
You gave me
vacation.
Macadamia nuts once from Hawaii. You didn't give me anything from Italy.
Part of it was not a lot of room in the baggage.
Not a cappuccino.
Two, didn't want to have anything get a problem through customs.
Three, you were broke.
Didn't want anything to break.
A macaroon.
So it was simply mom, dad, and PAX. Those are the only three people that got something.
The follow-up I have is, do I deserve the gift?
Well, if somebody gives you a gift, they obviously feel you deserve it.
Did I do something while you're on vacation? Did I watch something for you? Did I water something for you? Did I bring your mail in for you?
I guess in this specific instance and why I'm asking, I would say yes.
Okay, then yeah, I like the gift, the vacation gift.
Here's your gift, swag. I put a gift in yours.
See, I didn't deserve anything.
You held close to the show for
a
week without me.
A little Lego minifigure.
Lego with a big heart.
You have to open it.
Okay.
From the top.
Open it from the top. Unscrew.
These
personalized Lego.
Personalized Lego figurines made to look and dress like you.
Ooh, I got, what's my trophy for? Is this a trophy?
Look in the back.
Or is this a beer mug?
Look in the back.
No, I think that's a big wine glass.
PIO. That's fantastic.
It's in the back.
PIO Player of the Year, man. Look at that. Look at my little guy. Look at my little Lego guy.
You have to put that in on the YouTube somehow even closer.
Zoom
or tweet
in.
It out.
Go carry it over towards the camera.
He's
that's
got
fantastic.
Me with the ponytail.
I have you with the ponytail in about 10
fantastic.
Years. Old
hang
swag.
Hang on, I got to switch the camera angle here.
Follow-up all question right. on my Lego here.
There we go. There's the ponytail.
I love it. I love that you went Western vibe. It's good.
I gave you the hat because you're an urban cowboy.
I am an urban cowboy.
But if you take the hat off.
Yeah, am I bald? Yeah, there's nothing there.
There,
Now, it's okay. It's a ball joke.
You know, it's a place.
Well, it's not a joke. I just didn't know what there was more options.
My hair looks more Thomas Jefferson than
I thought it was very prestigious. And I saw the wine glass, and I went, I have to put that on.
So I don't know how detailed they get in the design of these things.
They don't.
Do I have...
Well,
are these like...
One, they're small.
Yeah, they're tiny. You know, I get it.
They're Legos, so there's limited as to what they can do here.
Do I have... Are these gang tattoos? Am I sweating or am I crying?
So that's the other funny little
note. Because I got three drips, it appears, on my face. Yeah. Now, either I've killed three people,
yep.
I'm really fat and hot,
right.
Or I'm crying over my playing days being over.
Well, you're wearing a hoodie, so yes. It's entirely possible.
Knowing that's
sweating.
As good as it's ever going to get for Dirk's athletic career.
It is all downhill from here.
Well, you made the Hall of Fame.
I did. I mean, that's true. Well, not yet.
More than I
should.
Did.
Yeah, I should.
You know, did.
Put me in the Hall of Fame.
What do you mean? Here's his swag.
Yeah.
You got a wine glass, and you got great hair, and you've got a very prestigious mustache going there. I thought it looked perfect. You wear polos. It's got a polo on it.
Yep.
I now don't want to go find a hat that actually looks like this and rock it on the show. That's what I need to do to match my Lego.
Well, I was debating, do I do like regular hats that we usually wear when we're on the show or get you? And I thought it'd be more funny to do a cowboy hat.
Way funnier.
Urban cowboy thing.
Yes.
The tears or the bead marks on your face are actually a shout out from my wife.
Oh, okay.
And she saw the face, because it's standard Lego face or it's older, distinguished veteran over there with a mustache.
You got one of two choices.
And I went, well, I didn't know where to go. Standard Lego face, kind of boring. You can only customize the torso at the Lego store at Disney.
You kind of put something on the back or the shirt or whatever.
Yeah, that's how I got the Cleveland Hall of Fame. The tears are meant to represent your general anxiety of existing with two children.
Well played. Well played. That is the dread. Every night I lay in bed, stare at my ceiling. How the hell are we going to do this? Are we going to survive? I appreciate
that. The wife has very very smartly noted the amount of times you've just randomly like, oh, it's all over.
It's all over. This is it. My life is over.
So we got
you know, last time I played golf? Father's Day, man. Father's Day. A long time ago. That was, I don't know if people are aware of this.
Ago.
It's now August.
I think that was 2 months ago.
That would have been June.
That was June.
Yeah. I did go to the driving range last weekend.
Hey, you got that
so I got to hit a couple of balls.
Hitting off turf is exactly the same as real grass.
It's the same feeling as birdie in a par five, you know.
Baby steps. Baby steps.
You give me the fix, baby.
I had to debate this of like, I didn't really have a plan to get you guys anything. And this was the first day we were there. I debated, okay, neither are Lego people. I totally acknowledge that.
Sure. Well, we got Legos in the house now.
But they're very small.
Yeah.
So they're easy to lose. Those weren't like $8.99, you know what I mean? Like, to customize certain things.
Yeah, no, spend a little bit of money.
Legos aren't cheap.
Yeah, Legos are not cheap.
They like to take advantage of their...
Yeah.
Popularity.
Point in the toy marketplace.
Exactly.
Legos are going strong, man.
The Legos.
It is wild. The Lego culture is insane to me as an adult who doesn't do Legos. It's a real thing.
Well, it's not brand new, but a newer line that's super high-end adult, like, replicating.
Oh, it's
yeah.
A lot of the Winterhawks do it. I'll always ask them, like, when we would do the podcast days, like, you know, what do you do for fun? What's your hobby? Like, dude, almost all of them to a T, they are all super into Legos in their free time.
Well, if you gave me like a super advanced one, like they had a Death Star in that Lego store and it was $1,000.
You would build it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's kind of like a puzzle in a certain way.
A
like you're
bit.
Just putting it together and then it can sit on your mantle for a
bit. It's like people that get into like real model cars or model trains or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Dude, some of those model cars are insane. The detail and the way that they put some of those little tiny stickers on. Like, I don't know how people do it.
Yeah.
But I debated, like, do I want to get them a gift? Did I not want to get them a gift? And then I thought it was a fun opportunity. And then I, like, wondered for two or three more days. I'd have a random thought bubble of, like, should I have gotten him something different?
No.
You know, like...
No. Any amount of money is too much money, to be honest with you. This is perfect. It's a small little gift. And it doesn't take up too much space. That's the biggest key in the vacation gift.
That's kind of what I thought.
You don't want to get something that is now a burden for you the rest of your vacation. Because it wasn't like you were staying in one place the whole time.
No, it was tiny.
You bounced around place to place, stayed in different hotels. And so you don't want to drag something around while you're on vacation.
That was the other thing. And I mean, we're on a boat half the time. There's not a lot of extra storage room for things.
There's no doubt. But I also like... And I knew, obviously, the Padres stuff was a non-starter, given your guys' division.
Yeah, I'm not going to rock a lot of Padres gear.
No. I totally get that. Yeah. So it's like kind of limited of like...
No, this was great.
What to get? Should I have done something more San Diego? There were raccoon tails that I almost bought you that a grown man was wearing throughout.
That
just to make you guys furry.
That actually would not have been that bad of an idea. That's pretty solid right there, dude. I'd tape that thing to the wife when you get home and she doesn't realize it. Go for a walk around the neighborhood. She's got a raccoon tail walking around the streets.
My oldest leaned in because I didn't see the guy and we'd just gotten in the zoo. My oldest leans in and goes, Dad, it's a furry in the wild.
He's got a tail.
And I was like, where? She's like, the grown man. And I was like, oh.
Oh, my God.
She goes, do you think he's a furry or is it just the zoo thing? And I go, I don't know, man. People are into a lot of stuff nowadays.
Seeing one in the wild is, it's a bit shocking. It's a jolt to your system, if you will. When you see one out in public that's unashamed of their furry status. Now, we talked about when you were out, we still got to pay off our last 3 years of Sprague and the Linebacker.
I know.
With our furry costumes. And so we got to.
Would require me buying one.
We got to get one. I think we keep it somewhat, like, I don't want to go, we're not spending $400 on a furry costume returning it. Like, find way to find a cheap one that you don't feel bad about throwing in a box or throwing
away
afterwards.
So we thought, though, because I'm getting the squirrel. We know that. Because that goes back to my family crest.
Right.
And your nuts.
And my nuts.
I have a good idea for mine, but I don't know how to execute it.
I actually thought what would be funny is if he got a beaver furry and you got a duck furry.
That's not a bad idea. It's not where I was going, but that's not a bad idea.
There was one. Now, it's not a full furry costume, but it's like one of those like Halloween costumes where you zip it up and the face kind of sticks out.
Yeah.
You can find those for like $25 on Amazon.
If you can find one for $20, I'm in.
Like, that's not bad,
I saw
right?
one for $100, and I'm like, I'm not spending $100. No. I'm going to wear it one time.
This is like a white elephant gift exchange where we need – there's a maximum amount of money. Yeah. What if the wife's into it, dude? you got your little beak at home. You're walking around. Quack, quack, quack.
If you want to be plowed by a duck, we need to have further conversations.
Find out she's into it. You know, I'm not mad about it. Whatever your kink is,
quack,
kink
quack,
is,
quack,
man.
Mr. Ducksworth.
I guess.
We all know your skill at goose calls. Maybe you get that duck call
exactly.
going around the house, and you know.
Maybe you meet the bird calling kid.
Moods are changing over there.
By
all right?
the way,
that's
I
all
was,
we're asking.
I was out when I saw this. I didn't know if you guys had picked.
We did.
You saw it.
The Atlanta Hawks schedule reveal.
Oh, my
reveal.
God.
Oh, yeah. We played it on the show.
So good.
Our kid is back. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Dude, he's becoming a star, man.
I know.
Rightfully so.
And he should.
Is there anybody better at their job than that kid making bird sounds?
Great question.
I mean, he's elite. That's the bar. Everybody else is trying to get to the bar.
Is the bird kid have the...
he's
yeah,
the bar.
I mean...
Unless you can find me a better bird caller out there, which maybe they exist. I don't watch a lot of bird calling videos. Maybe they're out there, but that kid's elite, man.
It's hard to argue with the point that anybody is better at their job than that kid is at making bird calls.
Who's is Shohei Ohtani better at baseball than that kid is at making bird calls?
No, because he's not hitting 400.
Right? You got to hit 400, I feel like.
I don't know how. The kid's popped into my algorithm, so I see all of these videos.
That's one of those moments you're happy about the algorithm.
I'm stuck in two algorithms right now. One is that kid on bird calls, so like Duck Dynasty podcast is bringing him on. The old guy's like, oh my God, it sounds just like that. He couldn't believe the kid. And the other is I have this really fat kid who looks like a teenage version of Peter Griffin, but his rap sound, he doesn't sound anything how he looks. He sounds like a Texas rapper, like Bun B,
but he looks
but
like
he
Peter
looks
Griffin
like teenage you... Peter Griffin. It doesn't make any sense.
That throw you off a little
keeps
bit
keeps popping into my and it's like black people are watching in real time as he raps and they're like they're losing their minds because they can't believe this kid is rapping like this. Those are my two algorithms right now.
That's not. I'm not mad about those algorithms.
I'm not either. You know? I watch the same raps over and over, or the bird calls.
Sure. There's only so many bird calls you could do. At some point, the kid's going to run out of birds. And maybe,
I don't know, man.
How exotic can we get with this kid?
There was like 20 species of birds in like one section of the zoo.
That's very
true. And they
true.
Had four different sections true. Of bird stuff.
I want to know how deep this kid's bag is.
Well, I think if he just...
How deep are we going here?
He obviously... has an ability?
Yes, he does.
And I think he has an ability to listen and see a bird and then like instantly make the sound.
Hear the sound and be able to repeat it.
Obviously, you have to make all those bird sounds.
I want to know how much practice. Like, I want to interview that kid. Has anybody done an interview with him?
I don't know if
outside of the Duck Dynasty kids or the guys.
They said they're going to get him on, but they haven't interviewed him yet.
Like, how much time do you spend practicing in front of the mirror every day? Or is it truly the ability that you're talking about where he has the mental acuity to hear the sound and be able to repeat it verbatim?
That's a very fair question.
Or is he like hearing the sound and then he goes into his bedroom for like 4 hours and say, I got the northern scarecrow, you know, and then he comes out of his room and he's done.
I think it's a combination.
Okay.
I think some of those he sees and then like some of them he just hears and then like practices and then nails it.
It'd be badass if your kid could do that. Get on it, Teddy.
Well,
bird sounds.
His mom or dad is clearly telling him to go on social media and these bird calls.
Let's capitalize on this here, buddy. You're having a moment in time. I don't know how long that moment's going to last, but you ride that thing till it's not hot anymore.
Well, I hope you guys don't lose those Legos, but
I won't.
Wouldn't be shocked if you told me in like 2 years ago, I haven't seen it. I got to be honest with you.
I'm going to find a place for it. I don't know if it's in the man cave on the TV stand in the man cave. Because remember, we had a listener give us the other ones that are bigger that you could customize?
The Funkos.
The Funkos.
Yeah, they had Funko dolls too.
I still have my Funko up in my man cave.
Yeah.
Teddy likes to grab it and rip the hair off. And I'm like, well, that seems a little too realistic. Let's not do that. Put my hair back on, please. So I think I'm going to put it next to my Funko in the man cave. My two dirt characters will be next to each other.
I almost bought a Michael Jordan Funko in a sports store walked into in San Diego.
The jersey and everything.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's a Jordan one.
That's kind of cool. You throw that up in Arnie's. That's not a bad look right there.
That's kind of what I thought.
While you're working out, that's the goat right there.
Got a lot to get to today on the old radio program. I woke up yesterday. Was interesting waking up after not having been awake that early. I was waking up pretty early on vacation.
Did
but
you
I
have
wasn't.
To set alarms much?
No more than usual. I just did like I have a standard two alarms on my phone and I have my clock radio.
But I'm just wondering if you like totally just turn it off. I'm waking
while
up
on vacation,
obviously. But you had stuff like the day you went to the zoo and you were traveling back and forth and stuff like that.
Well, no, I don't get great sleep.
Yeah, I know.
And so, like, I naturally was waking up at 5:45.
Yeah, just kind of up ready to go.
And we were trying to get up early to get things going because it was getting hot on a couple of the days. But, like, largely I'm awake by 6 at the latest.
Right.
And a couple of those days were great because I would just mosey out and I'd walk around the town and be near the ocean at 6 a.m. And I was like, this is not bad.
Worst places to be in the morning.
But today I woke up and I was full of just, like, super excitement. I was reading some stuff. I was listening and watching. I watched Paul Feinbaum for 20 minutes yesterday.
Paul Feinbaum.
Boy, he had a caller. I don't know what the guy said. Damn it, man.
Wasn't Legend?
No, it wasn't Legend.
Okay.
It was not Legend. It was after another Alabama fan called that was like, he could talk.
Yeah.
And the next guy came on. He's like, oh, Paul.
Are you smoking
crap? You, man. I don't know, man.
It's a different language down
was
there.
Was it Cajun? Was it an LSU fan?
No, he was an Alabama Cajun guy.
Oh,
it
wow.
It was a very odd combination.
Oh, that's a strange combination.
It's a weird mixture. Is he telling Indiana to stay in their lane? Know your role, Indiana. That's Feinbaum's rant right now.
I think I'm 80% sure that Feinbaum knew nothing he said because I was working out watching it and I was like, what is this guy saying?
This guy's speaking mumbo jumbo.
And when he got off the phone, he's like, thanks for the call there, Artie.
just move on.
Right on.
I'm not going to address anything you just said. I appreciate your time though. Thank you for that.
But I woke up today because I know we're going to get to the start of the Dirty Poll.
Yeah.
I know you're doing a different version this year. You are no longer going to do the weekly rankings.
Yeah, there's a lot of weeks in the season where nothing changes, and it's like, why are we doing this segment?
So this will be more football? Like the selection committee? Yeah. Like once a month we'll get like an
update? Maybe we can retool the way we do it, but there's too many weeks where it's like, okay, here's the segment. Guess what? Number 12 is still number 12.
Yeah,
number
what?
11 is still number 11. Number
Nobody
10 is
got a game this week,
right,
so
there's
everybody
zero
won.
Ranked opponents, and nothing has changed at all. So maybe it's a once-a-month thing we revisit it like at the end of the month after we get a little bit more of a sample size.
Well, it's your baby. Like,
yeah,
what you want to do with it, we do with it. Like we have a lot of things that each comes up with something, or we decide to not do something or do something, and we just kind of roll with it.
Yeah.
But I was excited because we start number 12 today as LSU, so we get to talk to our great friend Matt Moscona coming up at 7:27.
If we ask 5 questions, will we be sent a cease and desist? Did you not see that story while you were out? Are you unplugged on that one?
I was like...
The Jaden Daniels thing? Did you not...
Oh,
yeah.
Did I
today.
I did read that. I was 2 days late to it, but I did read it. And I thought, this is bizarre.
LSU's now trolling him on social media.
Why does he care?
I don't think
it's him. You have a season that's pretty important in your career. Why do you care about what?
That was the takeaway. What are we doing here? Why does this matter?
I heard it's his mom.
Well, anyways, we can ask Matt about that.
Yes.
My whole thing is I basically woke up today charged up, and this isn't like new information I'm passing along.
Mm.
I have to tell you now, how many years are we into NIL transfer portal?
Are we four or five?
Somewhere in that
where
range.
Where it's been like fully on board, above board.
This Let's call it four for argument's sake.
Sure.
This has been the best, and this is not easy to say because I also understand everything, the landscape of the sport in my alma mater. But from a viewership fan, sports fan standpoint, this is the most exciting college football of my life.
Yeah, I did a segment while you're out of how deep is your pool of teams that you think could, like, if I told you they won the national championship, you're not shocked. Not that, like, I'm not going to necessarily gamble on it, but, like, hey, if I tell you Texas A&M wins a national title, you're like, yeah, I guess I could see it.
You cannot look me in the eye and say you only think it's five. And look,
no.
College football was great back in the day when it wasn't 12 teams, when the conferences were fully aligned right. For different reasons, this is just having the idea of not knowing who is going to be the elites of the elites and then who's going to live up to the hype, not live up to the hype.
Because somebody will flop, you know it.
You know, the amount of portal players that certain teams have, like, is there a team laying in the weeds that nobody is giving legitimate credit to maybe be 10-2 this year and shock the world? Like, I am just so excited for college football, and I don't think it's close. This era, no matter what you think about the conference stuff, this era of the sport has made the sport far more exciting than in years past ever.
Yes.
Because you don't know if Oregon's going to win.
No, they got a shot, but you don't know. It's not a guarantee.
You don't know if UCLA with their 42 transfers is going to go 10-2 with Bob Chesney. Like,
very well could.
You legitimately don't know.
Yeah.
And it's so exciting to think about Saturdays just meaning a little bit more than they already meant.
And the biggest question I have off of last year is Indiana the outlier or are they the rule? Like, will we start to see more of that where the right coach, the right combination, a veteran team, all kind of comes together? To your point, they come out of nowhere. Because last year in the preseason poll, where was Indiana ranked? They were number 20. So coming into the – that's the first time in the CFP era since 2014 that a team outside of the top six has won a national title from the preseason rankings.
Yep.
So we can laugh about preseason rankings.
Also,
but
high school recruiting rankings were a thing, right? Didn't they outside the certain bubble and they won
the first non-blue chip team to win a title, I think, since Auburn. But they had Cam Newton, and so that was kind of the outlier there. And so, yeah, the sport has never been more competitively balanced at the top, which is a wonderful thing for the end of the season.
Well, we got a loaded show today. Super excited to get it going. It's a Thursday, a Magic Hat Thursday. We start the Dirty Poll check-in at 7:27. Cafe Day, Dirt and Sprague. Let's get it going next. 105.1 The Fan. And some audio of something we didn't get to yesterday. We'll dive into that coming up. We got the cafe right around the corner. Get your stomachs ready. You guys hungry? I had an ant infestation, so this morning I literally just had to deal with ants, and then I left.
They're
back.
Didn't
eat any food.
That time of year, man.
Dude, it's awful this year.
All over the place.
I, you know, you trap them, you spray, they're gone. 2 weeks later, they're back, different spot.
The worst part of the ants, too, is that even when you smash one and kill one, which you're not supposed to do because it releases a scent, is that scent, it stinks, it lingers.
It does.
Man.
You can, sometimes you can really smell
it. And it's on your fingers, and then it's, it's no good in the kitchen.
It's pretty terrible, so I'm starving, so we'll dive into the cafe coming up at 7. I did not have, in a predictions market, if you could Kalshi the next day's worth of radio programs.
Yeah, the topics for the show.
I would not have had at all on the show gambling page NBA trade.
We had an NBA trade yesterday.
We had an actually decent NBA trade. And it wasn't some like no name.
Hold on. Let's also acknowledge we were interested.
What?
We were interested.
This goes to the We Tried banner.
This is in our
Did somebody report that?
It is
I
out there.
I saw
that
reports
we,
that the Blaze we were
interested
were among no. teams.
Interested.
Who reported it? It better not be some Blazer.
No.
Blazer diehards 88.
It was an official account.
Blazer Kings. Yeah. The Blazer Diehards 44.
I don't remember where
it's always some fan account who always tweets like they're a person and not a one with a name. It's always an odd
name. I saw a joking tweet that was like, Portland was interested in Peyton Watson, too. Oh. They were monitoring the market, and I had a good chuckle at
that.
Well,
here's the thing. So here's the trade. The Cavs, a couple weeks ago, I think it was, last week, 2 weeks ago, traded Dennis Schroeder randomly to the Charlotte Hornets.
Yes, they did.
Which is kind of involved in this. So it's a multi-team trade here. So the Cavs send Schroeder to the Hornets. The Nuggets send Peyton Watson, who they couldn't get a contract extension agreement with, to Cleveland. Cleveland sends Max Strus to the Clippers, and the Cavs will send a 2031 unprotected first-round pick and a 2032 second-round pick from the Kings to the Nuggets to complete the trade.
Yeah.
The Cavs will send Trey Mann and cash in a 2027 second-round pick from the Clippers to the Wizards for Cam Whitmore. And then the Wizards are sending Julian Reese to the Nuggets. You don't remember any of what I just said because it's kind of confusing to read.
Yeah.
The bulk of this is really about Peyton Watson. The Nuggets could not get an agreement with Peyton Watson, who is a young 6'8 wing, and they got an agreement in Cleveland for a 4-year, $88 million deal. Now, this to me is a very easy love this move for Cleveland.
Yeah.
Because Cleveland did not get LeBron to come back for a third time.
Nope.
Cleveland, you know, many people thought they would kind of blow it up, and maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't, because they didn't look good in the East Finals, even though they were down 3-0. They were actually technically analytically winning the series against the Knicks, according to
Kenny Atkinson. They basically swept New York in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But they didn't, and they lost, and yet I kind of like, now I haven't seen, they haven't reached an agreement with Harden yet, have they?
I don't remember if they have.
No.
I don't think they have, because he opted out.
Yeah.
He opted out, and I'm not aware of a signing.
So
now,
we'll
they
see
might
what happens
be
there.
Waiting until they do all their other stuff.
Right, to get the numbers and crunch it all.
Yeah, still a unrestricted free agent.
I mean, I love the move because it's a swing. He's 23 years old. It's $22 million a year on average.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know how nobody else, I mean, nobody, everybody else has to be thinking what I'm thinking, right? 6'8 wing for $22 million.
That's all
a year.
It took.
That's
yeah.
all it. Do we have a first?
Yeah. We got a lot of them.
Do we have any seconds?
First and a 32 second.
We got quite a few of them, yeah. And Denver didn't want anything in return other than draft compensation, which is a whole nother conversation about where is Denver
well,
going.
Well, they got a forward, but somebody I
stop it.
Never
stop
heard
no,
of.
They want, no, the report is that Denver did this because they want to sign DeRozan. And many people were like, what?
Have fun with that, man. If that's
well,
the
they
you
signed,
work,
yeah,
fun
they
that.
Signed Christian Brown. They gave him a big extension.
They have no money. They're in cap hell right now.
Because they gave Brown the contract.
They gave him
like
the
a
contract, which was a bad deal. You have Jokic, you have Murray, and you still have Gordon
well,
under
Gordon
the
can't
contract.
Stay healthy. Murray's battled injuries. Like,
yeah.
It's just an odd. Denver fans are pissed because they didn't want to lose what Watson might become. Everybody deals with the same thing of. The young player, right. You know, he might be even better than we think.
Can't trade Shaedon Sharpe. Look at that.
Exactly. I just, you can't tell me the ethos of Joe Cronin is get wings, athletic 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", guys who can play multiple positions. And then he goes and gets a 6-foot point guard who weighs 148 pounds, who's making his threes in the offseason with nobody guarding him. And then tell me from the ownership standpoint, No. I'll spend to win.
Yeah.
I spend to win. Okay, you're not in the tax.
Nope.
Peyton Watson might have helped this team. I think if we got Peyton Watson, it'd be pretty big.
Hey, look at that. We got a nice little player, 6'8". He's not a guard. You can play him at the small forward. Gives you some length and some versatility.
I think the $88 million would have put you in the tax. So, like, I keep hearing that Tommy Two Nickels is willing to spend to win, and then Joe Cronin's ethos is 6'6 to 6'10 guys. Like... Well, all he did was six centers and six point guards. So, like, I got to admit.
That averages out to 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah.
7 feet, 6 feet.
I am obviously a little bothered that we didn't do this. We have all the necessary things to make this trade happen for us, and we didn't do it.
It kind of sums up the entire offseason, does it not? Like, it's funny because we play a lot of promos on our station, and some of them are not always updated or changed in a very timely manner.
I hate the promos. I got to be honest with you. Let's say it out loud. We got promos that are running from like 7 months ago.
It creates really funny content bits, though, like this, where there's still promos playing of like, you know, if the Ja Morant moves the last move, I don't like it, but it's the first move, so I love it because those are still playing. Because at the time, what did we all say? Oh, there's got to be more. There's got to be more.
John Tonje.
There's got to be more here.
Brendan Carlson.
This is just the beginning of their offseason. Guys, calm down. There's going to be more. And then they signed some G Leaguers that nobody's ever heard of before and called it a wrap. That was it. When you had guys like Peyton Watson who were available. So I don't know what the exact scenario would have been had you have traded for him, what you would have had to give up. If there's a player involved, just draft picks involved, you obviously would have increased your salary and probably gone over the threshold. I don't know enough about their numbers, but I'm assuming a $22 million a year extension for a 6'8 young wing would have probably put you in that camp. It sums up the offseason perfectly. What is the plan here? And this is where I'm so excited for the Moda Center to hopefully continue on some positive momentum, get that deal locked up. So this is the main thing we're again yelling about. We spent 4 years building a model of a roster that we tore down in one offseason when you told me that was the entire plan all along, was length, size, versatility, and defense. And in one offseason...
I don't think we tore it all down.
I mean, you traded two of your wings, which I'm not upset about you trading those two wings.
Yeah, people wanted one gone, and the other one is barely going to be in the league for four more years.
Who's your backup three?
Shaden.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is that length? Is that defense?
No.
Okay. Is that versatility?
From a jumping standpoint, he can do a lot of
that. That was the MO for 4 years of what we're trying to build. Now, Maybe I'm being too extreme. You haven't torn it all down, but you knocked a couple of bottom bricks off.
No,
they haven't. We got five guards and seven centers on our roster.
I'm agreeing with you to a point. They haven't torn it down, but like
outside of Kamara, who was our lengthy, switchy, rangy defender?
Drew.
Okay.
Drew is sneaky lengthy. He can play three.
He can play to the three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Carlson.
Who?
Potter.
Is Carlson, is that a real person? Are you throwing?
Brendan Carlson. That's a center.
You throwing fake names at me now?
No, that was the Oklahoma City guy. Yeah. Micah Potter? That sounds fake. That will always sound like not an NBA
related
name.
To Harry.
Well,
he's a Gryffindor.
What you hear, this is what I've heard for like 5 years now.
Micah Potter's a cross-country runner. Come on.
He absolutely is. You nailed that.
From Jesuit.
I've heard this for 5 years. When they don't get a player that makes sense, mm-hmm. I always hear... Well, they tried.
They gave it a shot.
They
That's
tried.
Why I chuckled when I saw a brand. I don't know what it was. If Portland was interested. Of course we were.
If you threw two firsts at Denver.
Of course we were.
They're taking that deal over a second, even though they're trading him within the conference.
Yep.
Because Denver clearly said, we don't think you're worth it enough to... They're already like a second apron team.
Yes.
And Denver doesn't... Kroenke, willing to pay for the Rams, many people noting, like, hasn't always been willing to do that in Denver.
Nope.
And so, like, it's just fascinating to me that this trade happens. It's not shocking he gets traded.
Is it his son-in-law that's the president of basketball operations?
I think it's his son.
Kroenke.
They're all Kroenkes. They're running it. It's, to me, like, that would have been a great... Talk about a great cap off of your offseason.
Hey,
John Morant. Yeah, think whatever you want about Ja and whether he will or will not. Ja and Peyton Watson... With a couple role guys, filler, like, that's a good offseason. You're not winning the West with that, but that's upside on a 23-year-old for 22 a year. That's barely more than you paid Ant.
Get some length, get some versatility.
And then you did a low-value swing trade on a point guard who was at once thought to maybe be one of the faces of the league.
Yeah, take a flyer on a guy, whatever. I have no issue with the John Morant trade.
I would have said, what a little summer. It turned out negative, 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 annoying, negative, negative to, hey, man. The funding got approved. Hey, man, they're talking now about the renovations.
Hey
man. And you added a 23-year-old 6'8 wing. You can't keep giving me, and this is more to the media, not the team, this crap about they tried. Oh, it takes two tango. It's like, I'm done believing all of that crap.
Yeah.
Make a trade happen.
At some point, you got to do something. And the biggest question about them remains outside of, you know, the funding of the arena, but from a basketball standpoint, you still have a treasure trove of pieces in your arsenal.
And maybe they're, you know,
what are you going to do with
it? The next deadline.
Next deadline.
You wait the next
deadline. Wait till the deadline. Let's see how this plays out, and then we'll go get our switchable 3-4 guy. Like, that, the reality of the assets that you have has not changed. And it's the biggest million-dollar question. Are you just going to let that string out and you get some rookie contracts in here? And are we just drafting guys in 28, 29, 30, 31?
Watch those Bucks picks, man. Right? I'm telling you, it's in their DNA to yes. want to use those picks.
I mean, the value of a top 10 pick, you just can't get rid of it because it might turn into Scoot Henderson. So it's just that's the million-dollar question with them right now. Or are you eventually going to actually do something big? But I will say this, after another offseason of believing, you know what, this could be the offseason, never again. I'll believe it when I see it. Never again will I go into an offseason thinking, you know what?
But Giannis was going to sign the extension.
I think this is the offseason we do it. I promise you. Mark my words, Rip City. I make that commitment to you. Never again will that be the thought.
Am I ultimately wrong or right about my take from Dundon's presser that they're going to make a move? Because they did technically make a sizable move. It just wasn't the position or
it's a weird thing where like both sides can argue
right.
Both sides can make an argument that they're right, but if I would have told you that quote-unquote big trade didn't include a single draft pick, would you have counted it a big trade?
If you told me it was Ja Morant, I would have said in name recognition, but not it's a big trade,
right?
Roster helps thing.
And yeah. Who knows? Maybe we look up at the All-Star break and the guy's averaging 30 points per game and he's in the MVP conversation. We say, damn, Joe, you cooked. That was awesome. Or maybe he shoots 19% from three and plays 17 games this year.
Yeah, but his threes are going in. I see the videos online. There's nobody guarding him.
We could go either way right now. We could go either way.
Let's get to an audio clip we didn't get to yesterday, and we'll get to it next on 105.1 The Fan. God, I was excited about college football, and I got pissed off again by the Blazers in action.
Yeah, City Sissoko getting chimed in as a...
Oh, that's a good one, yeah. You know, thank you for that. You appreciate the reminder.
There's not just one or two. I get it. But to your point on the ethos, it isn't quite the same as it was.
Yeah. Robert saying, I feel annoyed the lack of excitement getting Ja. You guys brush him off every time. No.
That's not true at all.
That's not remotely true. No. I'm just telling you, if you went into the offseason with the expectation that this team specifically was going to address the area we all know they need. And, by the way, the general manager in his opening press conference said, this is the most important area for us.
Right.
And then got Ja Morant.
Yeah.
You'd say, oh, that's a big name. But you'd also go, what?
Huh?
Because you have Drew, Dame, Scoot. Like, it's just, look, I think two things can be true. I understand the low swing value of the trade, and it's an odd decision to make.
Yes, from a on-court fit standpoint, a lot of questions linger on how that's all going to work.
Not everything, by the way, needs to be roses. It's okay to say, my team is doing very weird things that I don't like.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you're a bad fan. It doesn't mean your team is inept or incapable of winning games. I'm just talking from a roster positional standpoint. It is a very odd roster on paper. May very well prove within the first 2 months of the season,
could
all of this was the right decision.
Yeah, and maybe they actually do the trade at the deadline.
Sure. Not hold our breath here.
I'm not going to predict it.
But my whole point is to simply say, not necessarily to this person, I always find it odd. We get it on the text. We get the YouTubes once in a while. I always will find it odd. Sports fans that can't criticize their teams at all. Everything's great. Every player's great. I was told Delano Banton couldn't be let go, and he's sitting on the bench in street clothes. Seattle Mariner fan told me, like, here we go, and now they're depressed because they're losing games 22-0. Like, it's okay to criticize your team. I don't know why this is a controversial thing, and not that this city is any different. You face this in every city with every sports team, but it's always interesting that if you're critical or question, you're just viewed as the most negative person ever. And I criticize my NFL team every day. We're old. I'm wondering what's Oregon State doing. I have no idea. I don't feel amazing about their season and their prospects.
I'm ready for Oregon to be in a tight ball game in the second half against Boise State and freaking out mentally and emotionally.
And guess what? You'll be wondering about Dan Lanning.
What the hell are we doing here?
Is Dan Lanning incapable of coaching at this moment?
Come on, guys.
So it's like, it's not a diminishing Jaw per se. It's just, you have to acknowledge it was an odd move given what the roster construction currently was.
You have to acknowledge that both sides of this coin can be true. On the one hand, and we have said this from day one, buying low on Ja Morant is a move that I'm not upset about at all. Take a flyer on a guy, it costs you a guy who can't make a shot in a game and one of the worst contracts in the NBA. No issue with the trade whatsoever.
Yeah.
When you sell me that that is your big offseason move, that's when it becomes a different conversation. Now, again, to the point, maybe it ends up being that big move. Maybe John Morant is the John Morant of 5 years ago, and he looks like the face of the NBA again. That's not a guarantee. We don't know how that's going to plan out or pan out. And so I have no issue with the trade in a vacuum. But from a basketball standpoint, it doesn't make a ton of sense. And we all thought at the end of the offseason with your, you know, cachet of weapons, you're going to go make something big happen. And they didn't necessarily do that until we see what John Morant looks like.
Speaking of the Blazers, excuse me, didn't get to this audio yesterday. Merritt Paulson, the owner of the Timbers, who are now 1-0 under the new manager.
Marty Cifuentes.
Marty Cifuentes.
1-1.
What?
Well, come on.
They lost Sunday on the road at Chicago Fire.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me one of the tournament games, because then they got smoked in one of the tournament games.
No.
They're 1-0 in their first home match.
There you go.
Hey. Marty Fuentes.
They're on a one-game win streak.
Cifuentes?
Cifuentes.
Cifuentes.
Cifuentes. Marty Cifuentes.
I say this as a joke. Careful, watch your wife. A guy with that name,
yeah,
that's your sex appeal right there.
I mean, it just rolls off the
Marty,
tongue.
We've already determined, cool-ass name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cifuentes.
Cifuentes.
Marty with an I.
Oh.
I hope he says
oh,
that when he walks out of every room he's in.
Like
he
an accent I? An accent
That I don't know.
Marty. Yeah,
Marty.
If there's any little,
Well, here's Merritt Paulson. He was doing a press conference for Marty Cifuentes, and he was asked about the Blazers in the Moda Center deal, and here's what Merritt Paulson had to say.
First of all, the Blazers can't move. I mean, they are massively critical to the culture and the economic vitality of the city of Portland. End stop. Period. You know, that's first and foremost. Secondly, when you buy a team, you're not just investing in a league, you're not just investing in a franchise, you're investing in the city. You're investing in a community, and that's essential. I don't care. Look, I'm local, right? I in a perfect world, you live where you own a team, in my opinion. It doesn't always need to be that way. My kids were born and bred here. You know, they're native Oregonians. I moved here in 2007. I felt that was important. Everybody doesn't need to do that. But, you know, we've got a 100-year-old stadium, as you said, and we've put in $145 million of private money into renovations, and it still needs a lot more work. So that's not a criticism of anything, but all that said, look, I'm a believer in Portland long-term. I continue to be a believer in Portland long-term, but this needs to be a wake-up call for the county, in the city, in the state, to make this region a region that's attractive to invest in, a region where businesses, small, medium, and the very few large businesses we even have here that can succeed and do well. So I guess those would be my thoughts.
Yeah, so there's Merritt Paulson. I thought he nailed it. I thought that was a great answer to everything. You need to care about the fans and the community.
Yep.
We need to invest as a city, and this needs to be a wake-up call that our city right now is not the most inviting business climate out there.
No, I got some stuff for the Magic Hat later in the show that'll kind of tie all this stuff together because it's too good to get to now. I want to save it for the hat. I also think he is angling for future expansion.
Well, why do you feel that way when he's telling you how much they have privately invested? Do you think that's part of it?
I think that's like, part of his message. So like, hey, when we did our full Eastside expansion, which was, what, about $140 million, I want to say, somewhere in that ballpark, that was privately financed. Mm. City and county need to wake up, because he then added in the same answer that there's more to do here. And I think if you're looking around, you're saying the Blazers are getting a lot of public money. You know, the Timbers have over the years received different tax breaks on ticket sales or, you know, certain things to make the stadium modified back in the day. They've received millions of dollars in money from the city over the years. But, yeah, I think this is part of his plan of saying we need more work here. And they're a vital, important part of our city. Look at the game last night. I didn't watch the entire thing, but I had about 30 minutes of the game on. It was packed. The Blazers were in town. Mm-hmm. It was another great example of what they bring, especially to this pocket of town. It was great. So I have no issue with what he said at all. I'm glad that as an owner in this city, he's decided to make it his home, and he's always felt like a native son for that reason.
Loaded second hour of the radio program. Kick it off with the Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague Hour 2 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.